This is Sunday morning. What's the date? 7/16/23. And I have a prophet's corner, but I want to kind of say some stuff based on what Danny had said. The Lord, the reason that we don't boycott, and a lot of people don't understand that, they may not agree, but it doesn't really matter. God did not put us in this world to boycott. He put us into this world to take the land. Boycott is opposite of taking the land. We recently had some interaction with a local business. Well, really, it's in Midland. And really believe we were to head in that direction and deal with these people. But they did something that kind of set us off, and you know, of course, it makes you, when you something happens, it makes you want to not ever do business with them. Yeah, we did. Anyway, we had an appointment to drive a vehicle, and the people that bought the vehicle decided they didn't want it, so we made an appointment with them to go over and drive this vehicle. Well, while before we even got there, some people come in and wanted to do it, so they stepped them up ahead of us. And so we decided that we would forgive them. The Lord said, you know, and Danny said, the Lord told me to ask that they'd have another chance because they don't realize who they're dealing with here. Not Danny and Carla Love, but the Most High. And so later in the afternoon, the smoozing, whatever you call it, they personally brought the vehicle to us to drive. Well, we have decided to order another one that's coming in. But this company has some ethics that are not right. And yesterday the Lord said to me, speak the change in leadership. They're from Germany. Speak a change in leadership. I send you places to buy stuff, and this is an expensive vehicle, probably the most expensive we've ever bought. And we're going, kind of like with this house. And so, but the Lord has His plans and purposes, and when you do what He tells you to do, just like with this house, I can remember sitting out in the parking lot of the bank, and Danny went in to get the cashier's check, and I'm going, I don't like Mexico, but it looks so good right now. I'd like to go to Mexico and never come back because I don't want to do this. But while I'm sitting there, it just drops on me, this is how you're to pay for it. And then it was like the peace came. Well, when God's behind it, He finances it. When God's behind it, when God guides, He provides. Okay? If you put your reasoning to it and your mind to it, you've missed God. I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and I'm so glad I got out of debt. I'm never going to go in debt again, blah, 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 blah. And I said, there's something wrong with that. I said, yes, when you don't know how to handle money, the Lord getting you out of debt is a good thing. But then when you learn to handle money and you go into debt the Lord's way, it's a totally different thing. And so I would appreciate if y'all would be in agreement for the infiltration of the Mercedes-Benz place in Midland. The Lord sent us to infiltrate. There's something there that makes me real sad, the little guy we're dealing with. I don't know, there's something there. I know there's something, there's a reason that we're to go there. So we're just going to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. But these unethical things, we're standing against that and say, no, this will not affect us. It will not happen to us. They will not do that to us. We bind the devil in this situation. Is that not taking the land? Making this a more a business that people want to come to? people want to use because they do you right. We're so spoiled to BMW. It was hard to even go there because we feel loyal to them because they treat you like you're a person. Who wants to deal with somebody that treats you like you're the bastard child? Nobody. I don't care how great your cars are. And our gander gets up and we want to go, well, screw you. But that's not how God would look at it. It's not how he would have us direct. He'd have us, see, we're going in to change something that's not right. Isn't that what taking the land is? We're going in to change the land. We're not going to boycott the land. We're going in to change the land. Because if we don't, we have no place to go. We need to say we have the best car dealerships. We have the best whatever stores there is in Texas, in the Permian Basin. In Odessa, Texas. Midland don't get all the good stuff. We get good stuff too. So we're going to just watch what the Lord's going to do. And I'm not concerned about the other. He'll take care of that. Yesterday he said to me, and do you remember what I said to you? He said, release for increase. Release for increase, prepare for plenty. Release for increase, prepare for plenty. What is he doing? Let's pull out the old store so we can, here comes the new store. That's scriptural. So keep that in mind when you get your feathers ruffled and you want to just tell someone to go jump in the lake. You might check and see if God has a purpose in what's going on before you get all out of sorts and ruin your witness. It would have been real easy to lose our witness the other day. Because ethically it wasn't right. And the Lord said, there's a lot of things that aren't ethically right, but that's why you're there. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do? We are to change the world. We're to change it for the kingdom of God. We're not to just conform to the world. No, we're to interject the kingdom way into the world. That's why Jesus came and that's what Jesus did. That's why everybody hated him for the most part. Came against him. Eventually finagled a way to kill him, which we knew he had to go to the cross. But he said, follow me. So remember that, because there'll be a time that you'll face this. So, and I imagine we'll probably face it again and again because we're dealing with people, the ites, the rudites, the queerites, the transgenderites, the murderites, just the hatefulites, anti-godites, whatever you want to call them. There's giants in the land. And it seems like the seven mountains are really giant right now that Satan has infiltrated. But I'm telling you, those mountains are coming down. And God's kingdom is raising up. Okay. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. 7/14/23 is when I wrote this. Today's the 16th. I already said that. All right. This is what the Lord says. There will be a line in the sand, sorry. There will be no more riding the fence. The difference between darkness and light will be clearly defined. Remember Charles Capps when he spoke by my spirit about the end? And I'm going to read his word of prophecy about the end time. He wrote this back, I think, early 90s or so. Let me see. It doesn't matter, but it seemed like he came out with it in the 90s. All right. This is called the Triangle of the End. He says, several years ago, while teaching a series of satellite meetings, the spirit of prophecy came upon me. The prophecy pertained to the Triangle of the End. I saw in the spirit a large, acute triangle, and these words came forth. As you approach the triangle of the end, Time will go faster and closer, faster and closer, in which we're experiencing that, until the wicked shall be cut off. As those words came forth, I saw in my spirit, as it were, a large, acute triangle. It was standing on end, looking somewhat like an inverted pyramid, with a line drawn down the center from the top, wide top to the narrow bottom point, the narrow point at the bottom. Being wide at the top and very narrow at the bottom, it resembled a funnel. Inside this triangle was light, but darkness was outside, or, you know, outside of it. All right, the prophetic word continued. There was a time when you could be off from the center line of the triangle and still be inside the triangle of light. But as you approach the triangle of the end, you must move to the center line. For the line must be upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, there's no room for error anymore. Used to, people could walk pretty broad paths as far as church goes and what they believe in things. I could see that if you were off from the center line at the bottom end of the triangle, you would be outside the triangle and in darkness. Now, these are people supposedly walking in the light he's talking about here. And that was the way the wicked would be cut off. Even though they were to one side of the line of God's word, at the top of the triangle of time, they were still in the light. But at the narrow end, which represented the end of the age, everyone who was not on the center line, the precept of God's word, at the end of the age would be in darkness. Now we're seeing this right now in the Truther community. With all these things that they're coming forth to nullify, really, it's nullifying the word of God. They've gotten off what they've known to be right. And even now they say some of the right things, but they've just got that leaven. What does leaven do? Leaven's a whole lot. It'll... As we approach the seventh millennium, time seems to have accelerated and prophetic events are being compressed together. We have entered the triangle of the end, in which both the time allotted and prophetic events are being compressed to maximize destiny to fulfill all the prophetic scriptures and in the age in God's own time frame. Time is reaching much the same as liquid flowing through a funnel, being drawn into the narrow end and released into a container of larger dimensions. This is this new world we're going into. It seems there's not enough time to go around, and time controls us. We all, in one way or another, sense that we are being drawn by the vortex created by time itself. We're spiraling faster and faster through the narrow end of the triangle of time for the purpose of being released into a new millennium that will forever change planet Earth, which it's not a planet, but anyway. What an exciting time it is to see prophecy being fulfilled almost daily right before our eyes. God has allotted a special time for prophetic end time events, and they must transpire in this timing to fulfill all prophetic scriptures concerning this age. Their fulfillment will close out the church age with the rapture of the church, which we know we don't agree with that. You know, I'm not saying anything about anybody that believes that. God showed me different. You can believe what you want. Then the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel will begin, which is 7 years of tribulation. Well, we just have been in 7 years since Trump came down that escalator, if you want to put it in that light. Christ will return from heaven with his saints at the end of the 7 year period, and there will be 1,000 years of peace. Now, I agree with that. The end of that 1,000 years of peace will bring about the appointed end of the wicked and rebellious of all ages. They will receive their just recompense and reward, with Satan and all his emissaries being cast into the lake of fire. Then the righteous of all ages will be enveloped into eternity with a new heaven and a new earth as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descends out of heaven from God. What a glorious eternity we face. And he goes on to talk about the lease is about to expire, which I believe that. We're at the end of the six-day lease that God gave Adam. Now it's 1,000 years, one day. We have one day to rest. One day. God rested on the seventh day. All right, I just wanted y'all to put y'all in remembrance of that, that I believe we're in this time frame, whether Brother Capps had full understanding of it or not, you know, as things fulfill, you know, or unfolded through all these years, we start seeing things that we didn't see before. And that makes the picture more clear. All right. As Moses said, those that be for the Lord, come over here. So is this time. Many are no longer in the light, for they have pulled away from the truth and now walk in the darkness, and most are not even aware of it. This is why I have told you, my children, to not let go of the word, no matter what, who says what about it, for it is for this reason that they are enticed away from the light. Gross darkness, All right, I'm going to look at a few scriptures on gross darkness. Isaiah 60, verse 2 is the first one. Well, let's read 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Here, gross means gloom, as of a lowering sky. To me, it just speaks oppression. All right, Jeremiah 13. Verse 16. It says, give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while we look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. We need to pray that these that were on track, that God will get them back on track, that they'll have an epiphany or whatever you want to call it, and they'll think, oh my gosh, how did I get way out here? That's what this morning is all about. The teaching also will be about how I believe they got off. Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. That's why Jesus came. He came in a very dark time in our history. All right, Acts 28:27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Gross in that respect is to thicken and fatten or render callous. In other words, these type of people, they are so set in their ways that if you tried to change them or say anything, they just argue you to the ground. They make fun of those that have the truth. And that makes me very sad. It really does. Just as Moses drew the line in the sand, I, the Lord, have drawn a line in the sand. This is Exodus chapter 32. Here, God is trying to implement his law and his guidelines to a people that just come out of Egypt. Now, Moses has gone up into Mount Sinai to get the commandments, God's law. All right. 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down on the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and unto him. Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them. See, there's most people are focused on Nisera, just Sarah. They're not focused on God and his laws and his ways. When do I get my benefits? That's all they care about. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a carving tool or graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, what's the calf? Moloch? The one you offered the babies to? It looked like a calf, a cow. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made him a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Think about everything God did for them in Egypt. And the Red Sea. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I would have a hard time. I'd just say, yeah, Lord, go right ahead. Not Moses. And Moses brought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Do you realize today if everyone walked in the way of the Lord, we wouldn't need another system. We wouldn't need Nisera, Jesera. What do you think Jubilee is? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He needed somebody standing there. Well, Lord, I know you're upset, but give him another chance. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them before the mount, or beneath the mount. Think about it. They knew the ways of Egypt. What was the way of Egypt? Child sacrifice, probably adrenochrome drinking, cannibal, flesh eating. So you know, I know the movie makes it look pretty tame, but I'm telling you, there's no telling what they were doing. They were worshiping that calf. They were worshiping Satan. And what does Satan have them start doing whenever you start worshiping Satan? Yeah. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whatsoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, I told you, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his champion or companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses says, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. They killed out every single one of them. It's kind of like what's going on today. All right. Those for the Lord come over here. Over here is the Jesus team, the MAGA team, the Trump team. This is the team that I've chosen, and they are leading the team to victory. Stay in the light, for in the light is your protection. You are at the end of the triangle, the end of this age. Stay walking in the light, and you will be safe. All right. Sharp, but